Zabella Radio.
At Ground Zero, the world witnessed the miracle of American courage and sacrifice as ash rained down. Police officers, first responders, and firefighters ran into the fires of hell.
That was the president earlier today and some of the observances that he's been part of across the country. And, of course, anyone that lived through that day 19 years ago today can remember exactly where they were, what they were doing, the moment that they first were told to turn on the television, or maybe they saw the television already on. I remember being told that I needed to report to a newsroom and needed to start filing reports on what was going on a breaking story. And as we filed those reports, I remember staring at my television screen as a second plane fell, crashed directly into the World Trade Towers. We've got a very special conversation planned this hour, and I'm grateful that you're with us. Kevin McCullough, my name. Governor George Pataki is going to join us in the next segment, but I wanted him to follow my first guest because I don't know if he's had the chance to relay the story of his moments that day. As they unfolded, Commissioner Bernie Kerik, a longtime friend of this show, and Commissioner, always appreciate you coming on. But I know that that day was one of enormous importance to you. And it was really a day that reshaped the whole face of what we did as a nation in terms of fighting terror. But you almost didn't live to see the other side of it. Take us into those moments.
When the first plane hit Tower 1, I was actually in my office, and my staff came in and said that a plane hit the tower. I was in the bathroom, and I came out, and I looked up at the television that was in my office, and I could see the damage to the building, and I just thought it was bigger than a plane. The damage was more substantial than what there would be with the impact of a plane, because I actually thought the plane was a small one of these twin-engine Cessnas that flies up and down the Hudson River.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people thought it was.
Yeah, exactly. So I called the mayor. I said, look, I'm looking at the damage to the building out the window. It's pretty substantial. I'm on the way to the command center, our headquarters, the Office of Emergency Management, which was in Tower 7, directly across from Tower 1. I told him I would meet him there, and I was down there within 7 or 8 minutes. But the problem in getting there was that when I turned or tried to turn onto Vesey Street, the cops stopped our motorcade and told me that we had to back up. The people were jumping from the buildings, and as I watched this debris come down to the ground, I quickly learned that it wasn't actually debris, that it was people, and they were jumping, you know, some 1, 2, 3 at a time. And so we backed up the vehicle. I waited for the mayor. And about 2 or 3 minutes before the mayor actually pulled up, the second plane slammed through the north side of the tower on top of us. And we had to run behind the federal building to get out of the way from the falling debris.
That was the when you knew without any question at that point that these were intentional. This was no longer an accident. And what happened next? What I know that the mayor joined you shortly thereafter. What took place?
Yeah, you know what, Kev? Initially, when that second plane hit the building, I didn't see the plane. It came in from the southern end of Manhattan and blew out the north side of the tower on top of us. And I could remember I yelled at my guys, they're blowing, somebody's blowing up the buildings. I didn't see a plane, but then I heard the aviation pilots yelling that a second jetliner just hit Tower 2. And it was at that moment I actually knew that we were under attack. The mayor got there within, I don't know, 3 minutes after that explosion. And he wanted to go around to West Street to look at the damage to the other side of Tower 1, and there was a temporary command post on West Street. We stopped there. We visited with the first deputy commissioner, the chief of department, the chief of operations from the fire department. These were the top three men, the top three executives of the fire department. They were all there with Father Michael Judge, the chaplain for the fire department. We spoke to them. We had a conversation with them for about 10 or 15 minutes, and we left so the mayor can get on the phone back on Barclay Street where we started. And as we were in that office waiting for him to talk to the vice president, Tower 2 imploded basically on top of us and around us.
And those firemen you had just spoken with, of course, didn't. That was the last time you ever saw them.
Every single one of them. Every single person that we were with at West Street died. Hmm. You know, Chief Gansey, First Deputy Commissioner Thien, all of them. They, Father Judge, Michael Judge, they all died as a result of the implosion and the people falling. Michael Judge was hit by a person that had jumped from the top of the building.
Right. I think it's hard, Bernie, even all these years later, to hear these facts and to hear how the thing played out and not be incredibly moved at both the desperation of those that were caught above the flames that obviously was untenable if they were jumping to find relief, but also to you guys, did you have any real idea before the second tower fell that the buildings wouldn't hold? I mean, was there a thought
honestly,
that these are coming down?
Yeah, honestly, when we met with all the executives, the fire department's execs, they basically, in our discussions with them, they said, look, unfortunately, we're going to lose everything above the impact zone. So for the Tower 1, that was above the 95th floor. In the second building, it was above the 75th floor. Okay, so we're going to lose that portion of the building. We're going to lose the people above the impact zone. Hopefully those losses are minimized. That's what we were thinking. But nobody anticipated that these planes, these jetliners, had 50,000 gallons of fuel or excess, yeah. And that they would create an internal inferno within the building that would weaken the metal structure. And once the top started to go, nothing underneath was going to hold it, given that those beams were about 1,700 pounds per linear foot.
Yeah, just incredible. And the fact that you then had to help guide the city through all of the days that followed. Commissioner, I know it's a tough day for you, and I know there's a lot of memories attached to it. Thank you for spending part of it with us today.
Thanks, Kevin.
Coming up next, Governor George Pataki joins me with another piece of the story. It's 9/11. Stay with us.